Welcome to Abundant Life Now, hosted by Life Transform, uncovering the truth to living a life of purpose. We're going to journey into the five major purpose areas of life with some laughter, tears, and smiles along the way. We're going to share wisdom and perspective that will save you time, eliminate distraction, and dare we say, bring you joy. I'm Robert Bolden, and I'm going to be joined by Tim Matasio, Dr. Allison Ashley Fitzpatrick, and Dan Hendon. As hosts, we are all Christ followers, and like him, we welcome diverse perspectives and participation. This show is open to all perspectives, and that's what we're excited about. We are sponsored by Life Transformed, helping people go from isolation to community, where the next step beyond is freedom.
All right, welcome. This is our inaugural episode, our inaugural show, if you will. But what we're doing here is we're launching this because it's been Holy Spirit driven in our community that we're to reach people for Jesus. Now, if you're not a Jesus follower, that is okay. It is perfectly okay. You don't have to be a Jesus follower. But just bear with us here. If you're watching the show, just listen up. Have an opportunity. Don't even think about the whole Jesus part of it. All right? But we feel we are called to do this, and we're called to reach people. And our community is all about reaching people. It's all about going from isolation to community. And if you're here, you probably know something about our community already, so I won't go into a lot of details around that. But our topic for today is, and we've got four people. You guys know, I mean, I'm talking Robert Bolden, Life Transform. We have three other folks that have joined us today, three other leaders within our community. We have Dan Hendon from near the Chicagoland area. There's Dan, Mr. Tim Matasio, who is in Nebraska, and Dr. Allison Ashley, and she's over in Florida. She's in the warmest place out of all of us. So we're going to have an open dialogue about the topic that we are all really committed to, and that is to help people go from isolation to community. So I'm going to throw it out to the panel. Who wants to share what isolation means to them? If I say we want to go from isolation to community, because that can be a confusing topic. People are like, what are you talking about? What is isolation?
Well, there was something as I was thinking about this topic that I thought would be helpful to at least acknowledge, is there are different types of isolation. Your isolation may not look like my isolation, and that doesn't mean one is less true than the other. It has to do with our experience, and in order for us to be everything that God has created us to be, we're going to need to be in community. And so this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, but I came up with four different types of isolation that I thought would be important for us to at least acknowledge. One is proximity isolation. We're not near anybody else. If you're out in the middle of nowhere and you only see another person when you go into town and come off.
Hey, am I the only one that's not frozen?
Get back on the grid for some groceries or something like that. Then that's more of a proximity isolation. There's another that's emotional isolation. You're not connecting with people on an emotional level. A third is spiritual isolation. You're not connecting with people on a spiritual level. Maybe you're a believer and your family is primarily agnostic or cultural believers. And so there's a disconnect between you and the people that are around you. And then the fourth one that I thought of was visionary isolation. And I think this is really something that a lot of CEOs, a lot of pastors, a lot of real big picture people.
It says this, okay, but my feet just stopped on the podcast.
And they're wanting to go, go, go. And so many of the people around them are barely surviving or are trying to negotiate and navigate expectations of, well, if this doesn't work out, what's your fallback plan? What's this? What's that? And when you've got some big vision that you're really striving for, you can wind up all alone if you aren't surrounding yourself with other people that have a big vision.
Dan, I love that. Four kinds of isolation. Wait, do you have an example of one of them that you've experienced?
For me, going into the pastorate at age 24, I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and green as could be, and I was ready to just light our neighborhood on fire for Jesus. And I went in expecting the people in this seasoned church that loved God and believed scripture to be ready to go with it. My early conversations had all sounded rah, 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 yay, this sounds great. And then when I got into the situation, it was more about maintaining the status quo and maintaining the ministry as is from the past 70 years than it was about reaching the people that were actually in the neighborhood. And while not changing our theology, adapting some of the cultural ways that we expressed ourselves and expressed our faith. And so I had a vision of us going out and reaching the community and building relationships. And I did not align myself with other pastors who had big visions. I was just in my church, and it was constantly pulling people to try and get people to come along with me. And I didn't have a whole lot of people in my life that were encouraging me on the vision that I had, the vision that I believe God had given me. And it wound up in some ways imploding on me.
So that's the frustration of trying to do it all on your own.
Absolutely.
I'm hearing that Absolutely. Loud and clear. Yeah, I've been there for sure. I've been there for sure. All right, Allison, Tim, how about you guys? Isolation.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. You know, I came at this a little different. I started from community and then worked back to isolation. So I looked at what is community, and I looked at the two parts of community. Community, communication being the first part, and the unity part, or unity part. So I look at community as being communication that builds unity. So then isolation would be the other part, that you're a part of something that's not building unity. So there's fractures. And even though it's the old story, you can be lonesome in a party, in the middle of a party. So I like Dan's idea there's a spiritual, it's a spiritual for me. It's a spiritual unity. Christ said that we all may be one, or there's a fracture, a disunity, and that's going to be what I call isolation.
Yeah. And how about you? Same question I asked Dan. What's an example in your life where you've experienced that? And I love the way you put it. You know, that community, communication that leads and builds community, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that came to my mind as you asked that was when I moved to Lincoln. I was from Chicago. I'd lived there most of my life. And then knew myself and was known by others and was in a community. And then I moved to Lincoln, and I didn't know anybody, and nobody knew me. And so I was talking to people, but not feeling a part of anything. And it was really a troubling and trying time, and took literally years for me to feel like I'm a part of a community here now.
Beautiful. I love that. I mean, I've experienced that myself. I know even when I was married, this is interesting. I was in the corporate world, so I was actually moved 10 times in 20 years. So about every 2 years, they transfer me someplace else in the country. When I'm, wow, you know, fat, dumb, and happy, because every time I get transferred, I have an orientation and I get to meet everybody. Well, my wife at the time, she didn't have that. So she experienced what you just said there, Tim, and she had to make it all on her own. And looking back, holy cow, what, you know, what a burden upon her to have to do that. And I realized that probably about our fifth move in, I'm like, oh, and that kind of led to one of our, we've got one of the things we do within Life Transform, which is end of year experience. And that kind of sprouted in that experience that couples need to be able to do things together and experience change like that together. So thank you for that, Tim. I love it. How about you, Miss Allison Ashley, the lone female here today?
That's funny. I find myself in places like that, but our two sisters aren't here either yet, but they will be. Anyway, it was really helpful hearing what Dan and Tim said, and you know, my wheels are turning on when I was listening to them, especially what you said, Tim, about community, communication that builds unity, because we can have a lot of communication that builds the opposite of that, and not only it doesn't build anything, it tears down, you know. And scripture says that any word from someone is for the purpose of edification. Maybe we'll get a word if it's really from the Most High, that maybe is telling us to look at something, but it's going to resonate within us too. So if that's the case and it's being given, and the only reason I'm elaborating on that is because someone asked me today if I was going to this Messianic fellowship tonight, and immediately I went, nah, you know, I don't want to go there. That's when you said your face earlier, and I was thinking on that. And the thing is, I've experienced that there. Okay, so I think, you know, we all want to be seen, we want to be heard, valued, and validated for who we are. Jesus did that. You know, he really went out of his way to do that with people, showed up so authentically and met people authentically where they were at. Not only that, but he valued them. He saw the talent in them and he brought them in and he developed that. He gave them a platform to showcase and demonstrate that value. Okay. Those gifts, he valued those gifts. He validated people. And when he called them, he really called them and used them to the level that they were willing and able to do it, but helped to grow them in their positions. And I think that in some churches today, any churches, I'm just using as an example, but any community, there's a lot of the opposite of that. I'm just going to say, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, whatever's brought to the table. And whether it be jealousy or ego or pride or arrogance, you know, whatever it is, but we're not doing that for each other that much. And I'm hearing a lot from people today, you know, who are really being ousted because they're feeling that they're not being valued, they're not being seen and heard, or asked to step down from something where they have a super talent, and then they're exiting. And my sense of when someone said to me, are you going tonight? And I'm like, no, but I was called out from that, you know, a long time ago. So for me to have even been going a little bit, you know, I bounce around here and there, wherever I feel like I'm supposed to go.
So what you're talking about there, I'm picking up on, cause I've experienced some of this too. The crowd is going this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not maybe, no, I don't want to go with the crowd.
Yes, yes.
Right? So is that an example of isolation? what you're talking about there. And if you're not confident in yourself and confident in where you are, where your heart is and where you're going, I've been there where I easily is like, well, the crowd's going that way. Maybe I should go that way. I don't feel like going that way, but I better go. And then you go and you still feel out of place.
Yes.
Is that an example of isolation that you felt, Miss Allison?
You hit it on the head. Yes, you did. Yep.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. See, there are so many ways to be isolated. I always say when I'm talking to people, you know, we're life transformed. We help people go from isolation to community. We're more connected than we are at any time in history, but we're also more isolated, even if it's in our own head. That's always the last thing I say, even if it's in our own head. Tim made the point earlier, you can be in a party surrounded by people, but totally isolated. Because what's going on in your mind is, oh, I don't know, I should be here. Maybe I should be here. Should I go talk to that person? And you just go, 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 go. So for me, I think when I stopped getting out of my own head and started being present in the moment with people, that's my example of isolation that was, you know, working on me for most of my life. And that's the one I think that is, for me, it looking back, it was just insidious. It was just like this little, it was running in the background. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. So if you're out there and you could relate to anything that any of the four of us have said, then you may be a candidate for a community like ours. All right. Let's talk. Let's see. We've got a few more minutes. Let's shift to, I know Tim started on community. So let's shift to community. And what I want to ask you guys is, and gals, guys and gal, what I want to ask you is, give me the best example from your life in community. And what I mean by the best example is where a community really gave you either an aha moment or you feel energized. And I'll give you an example from my life to get started on this. So I was always in team sports growing up, and there was no better feeling for me than being with a group of people going for a common goal. So I go into the workplace and it's basically, you know, corporate world. You're basically on your own, politics and all that stuff. And business owner, same way. I'm on my own. Go, 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 go. Well, when we started this community, it was just like, boom, I'm re-energized. And it took me back to when I reflected, oh, yeah, it's because that team, that camaraderie of being around people going for a common goal. That's my community example where that really lit me up here later in my life. Who's got one?
You know, the last time we talked, I sensed it. And it came around when I said Christ would be in the middle of the LGBTQ SB walks, and Allison said, no, he wouldn't. It's often thought that community has to mean thinks the same way. I got to be around people who think the same way that I do. And nobody thinks the same way that I do or that you do. We all have our own unique thoughts. It's not about groupthink. That's not community. Yeah. That's mind washing. That's Jonestown. Yeah. That's manipulation. Christ didn't lead disciples who were into groupthink. He led disciples who were into thinking, listening, talking, questioning. Mm-hmm. And when Thomas came along and said, you know, I don't know, Christ didn't expel him. Christ said, you know what? It'd be cool if you could believe without having to see, but go ahead. You can't yet. So here, stick your hand right in the middle there and you can see for yourself. Peter and Paul in the early church, they fought. Peter said, this isn't right to do this. Paul said, you better know it is right to do it. And they went back at it, and they were leaders of the same community. And
yes.
That that moment when we could agree to disagree and just to talk and be authentic. And I hope to God Allison continues to believe what she believes, because that's what makes her her, and that's cool.
I love it. Okay, we've got about 1 minute. I got 30 seconds for Allison and 30 seconds for Dan on community.
I just want to expand on what you said, Tim, because that was such a cool thing. You know, and the part of it was we both feel safe in being able to express ourselves so clearly, even if it's opposite, right? Because there's a respect there. And we very well, either one of us could move in one direction, but that's iron sharpening iron. Such a beautiful thing. So thank you.
All right, Dan, you got the last 30 seconds here.
One of the things that I love about great community is the ability to transcend generation and culture. One of the best community experiences I've had outside of our community was in the church I was a part of in downtown Chicago. We had a thing called Men's Fraternity. And by accident, I wound up in one of the best groups I could have possibly been. They moved the tables around and I got there late. And I sat with a bunch of guys that were significantly older than me. And then later I went to the small groups pastor and said, hey, can I stay at this table? Because I really connected with and was really learning from them. And so being able to have people that have a different perspective, a different experience, a different position in life that are able to pour into you and you know that you're not alone, but you've got people that have your back and genuinely want to see you experience God's best is something that is an absolute blessing.
I love it. All right, you guys, we're going to wrap this up. So listen, today, Dan talked about, you know, when you're leading and you realize that you're on your own, that's the way to be isolated. Tim talked about moving to a new community, not knowing anybody and feeling lost. That's a way to be isolated. Allison talked about going against the grain, not following the crowd. That's a way to be isolated. Then you shift to community, right? So then Allison, let's see. Tim talked about being part of a community where people don't think the same way. You can not think the same way, and that's good. That's energetic. That's what a community should be. Allison talked about safe to express yourselves. If you're in a community of people where you get the eyes and they, you know, they're critiquing you and all that, that's not a good community. And then Dan just with the generational and cultural, you know, being able to sit in, and I did Men's Fraternity too, Dan, so I can relate to that. It is fascinating. And if you value the generations, not only the folks that are older than you, but the folks that are younger than you, there's so much to learn. Thank you so much, my amazing fellow followers of Jesus. Boom. God bless. See y'all soon.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on Abundant Life Now, uncovering the truth of living a life of purpose. It's grateful to have Tim and Dan and Allison as co-hosts today. I'd also like to thank Life Transform for sponsoring us. Takeaways for today: you can be isolated even if it's in your own head, so you need community. Community fosters unity, and personal experiences from isolation can lead to a deeper community commitment, and generational and cultural diversity in a community can really promote further growth and learning opportunities for you and I. Check out our website. The link will be in the show notes. You can jump on our email list. We've got a lot of cool stuff happening there. And subscribe to the show. Share it with your friends. Join us next time, and we will see you soon.